Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him just a moment longer. Hallelujah. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Just to remind you, we will be taking up a special offering after the Gibbses have made their presentation, and then he'll be preaching the word of the Lord. I want to give everyone a chance to receive the greatest gift, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The presence of God is here right now, and you can do that at any time, and we're going to give you a chance to pray later on. We've had 168 people that have been born again here at Calvary Gospel Church this year, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and you can have that opportunity. Praise God. It's our pleasure and our privilege to have with us Brother and Sister Gibbs. The Gibbses have been on the mission field and deputizing for about 9 years. They've been in Nigeria and Cameroon, and now their burden is for Malawi. And they're going to share that with you at this time. We want Brother Chris Gibbs to come and minister to us.
Let's give that to the Lord today. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come into your house and to magnify your name. For your name is worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. Thank you, Lord, for another Sunday and another hour, Lord, that we can worship you and magnify his name. Amen. It's not just another day, amen. It's his day, amen. Not just another service, but his service, amen. Not just gathering in a building with drywall and pews, but it's the house of the Lord. And we have gathered in that today. And in the house of the Lord, there is liberty, there is freedom. His anointing is here to break and destroy the yoke. Liberty is here, freedom is here, the goodness of God is here. If you're lonely, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're sick, he is the great physician. If you are in confusion, he is the one that will lead and guide you into all truth. If you are in despair, he is our help in the time of trouble. If you are in a valley, you can look unto the hills from which cometh your help. We are in a house where the King of Glory is. Heaven is still his throne, and the earth is still his footstool. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are excited to be here and to share a little bit what the Lord is doing in the nation of Malawi and around the world. Give honor today to Bishop Grant, and what a privilege and distinct honor to meet him today. And to Brother Grant, the pastor that is out and away, and I give him honor today and his family, to Brother Rossi, to Brother Seidel, and to Brother Hawk and to the Brown family. They have been our hosts this week. Thank you so incredibly much. I know when we came into the house Monday evening and went downstairs, there was a roast waiting, potatoes waiting, carrots waiting, and I probably shouldn't have said that right now. You're probably all ready to go, but thank you to the Brown family. That's happened less than a handful of times in 14 months, and we greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. The hospitality of this church has been wonderful. Thank you, Brother Rossi, for all the scheduling. You can be seated this morning. Just wonderful to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Just to give you a little bit of background about the Gibbs family. I am from Columbus, Ohio. Originally, that is my home. Been born and raised there. Fifth generation Pentecostal, and blessed by that. Blessed indeed. And I went to feel the call of God in 1994. I remember the Lord began to deal with me. I had my life figured out. Thought I knew what I was going to be doing. And the Lord began to show me the fields of Africa and called me into ministry all in the same night. And I remember 19 years of age thinking, how am I ever going to get from a little suburb of Columbus, Reynoldsburg, Ohio, to Africa? But in 5 short years, God opened door after door to facilitate that. And all I can do is step back and say it was the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous in my sight to watch how he orchestrated and facilitated everything. I began to work in the fields of Cameroon and labor in the nation of Nigeria as well. I was there 7 months, and a young Amer got off the plane in Nigeria in Enugu. And when she got off the the plane 2 years later, that would end up being my wife. And we met on the mission field, and that same call, same desire for Africa was already placed inside of her. And I thank God how he orchestrates and puts things together like that. And it's amazing. We came home, were married in 2000, January of 2000, thought we'd be back in the mission field in days. And almost 9 years passed assisting and working in the local church there. God opened the door again wonderfully in 2009. At the end of 2009, we began to travel and found ourselves back in Malawi early in 2011. In the last 4 years, we have been laboring in that nation, and God has sent a great revival. And I thank the Lord for that today. Amen. That God has been faithful. Amen. My wife is originally from Kennett, Missouri, or Missouri, however you want to enunciate it. I tease her about that a lot, but very, very blessed. She grew up in Brother and Sister Magruder's church. If you remember them, they sang for years and traveled. That was her home church, and then her mother and father were home missionaries and started churches all over the area. And when they weren't starting churches, they were at the Magruder's. So very, very blessed indeed. Amen. And let me say this from the onset. Anything you hear today that you can say amen to, clap your hands or get excited about when we talk about Malawi, let me say this. It's been a God thing, not a Gibbs thing. God has stepped in. God has done the work. And again, I can testify this has been the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. God has stepped into the nation of Malawi and moved miraculously, and I thank the Lord for that. The Lord has been moving across our nation tremendously. And I'm going to share some of that today with you. But it's been astounding to watch how God has done great things in our midst, in our nation. It's been astounding. In the last 4 years, we have a multimedia that we'll show later on today. And it's only showing 3 years of statistics. We've not even been able to update it since we've been home. But in the last 4 years in the nation of Malawi, over 7,500 people have been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. And we thank God for that this morning, that the blood is being applied. Amen. We thank the Lord for it. A great revival and movement of the Holy Ghost has swept our nation. And in the last 4 years, over 17,000 people have received the gift of the Holy Ghost in the nation of Malawi. And we thank God that he is still honoring his word, pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh in this hour. Amen. The Bible school has played an intricate part of that in our nation. Malawi is a very long nation, 700 miles long, only 180 miles wide, but filled with 17 million incredible souls that need the gospel. And we are divided by northern, central, and southern region due to the length of the nation. We live in the southern region of the nation in the city of Blantyre. Blantyre is now well over a million people and growing every single day. And our Bible school headquarters is there. When all of that property was acquired and Bible schools were built many years ago, we were out in the middle of nowhere. Now we are in the central hub of the city, an eighth of a mile from the National Soccer Stadium, an eighth of a mile from the judges and judicial system. All universities are within 2 miles of our campus. And we look around and it's amazing how God has favored us that way in our nation. And it's been astounding how God does that. Amen. God blesses his people, amen. And the Bible school has been a tremendous influence. Apostolic Bible College has produced 131 men and women in the last 3.5 years, and they are out preaching and teaching the gospel. 126 men and 5 ladies are now pastoring over 11,000 souls in the nation of Malawi just from giving themselves to 2 years of Bible school and dedicating themselves to the furtherment of the gospel, amen. Revivals in Malawi. It's wonderful today to be able to report to you that in our nation now we have 420 established churches in the nation of Malawi now. Those are full-time pastors with buildings that we own and land that we own. And we thank God for that today, that that is in effect and in place. Over 200 daughter works have been started also, and 7 new churches last year. So on any given day in our nation, 627 men and women are pushing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ forward. And now the church is growing to over 30,000 members and constituency, and that's growing by the day. We just finished General Conference the last 3 days, and the Lord has poured out the Holy Ghost again. And we thank him today that he is faithful. He is not just a God of yesterday, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is faithful to his people and to the church and to the kingdom of God. Amen. It's exciting what the Lord is doing. We, in our nation, we have watched the Malawians excel And that's been difficult to watch because Malawi has always ranked in the top 10 happiest nations in the world. So when you are there, you will see people with infectious smiles constantly. Even while they are working and laboring, people are always smiling. People are joyful. People are always happy. And that's always been astounding to us, coming from sometimes an American culture where we're just about getting things done and then getting home. And watching everyone smiling while they're pouring concrete and laboring in fields has been amazing. But then when you find out they're the eighth poorest country in the entire world, that doesn't make a lot of sense in the top 10 happiest, but in the top 10 poorest. That doesn't make sense in our American mentality. But it understands clearly to us the scriptures that Jesus said that life does not consist in the things a man possesses. And we know that today also, that life is not about what we drive and what we wear and how many zeros are in the bank account, but true happiness is found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that supersedes everything else in life. And I thank God we understand that today in the church in Malawi also. Amen. When you talk about being the eighth poorest country in the world, you were talking about an average family in Malawi will have five children. So you've got mom and dad and five kids in the house, and they will earn about $900 US for the entire year, to give you an idea. Things are very expensive in Malawi because many things are imported because it's a landlocked country. Gasoline is $10 a gallon. So I tease, I told Brother Brown, I'm the only man in America smiling when I fill up my truck. Because in Malawi, it's $450 every time I fill up the truck. In America, I'll take it any day. It's awesome. Milk is $10 a gallon. Cheese is $18 a pound. Things are very expensive. A lot of the other foods, corn and vegetables and fruits, are very, very inexpensive. So somehow we pray it all offsets itself. But when you see people living on $900 a year, sometimes they are able just to survive on the basics and that alone. But in the midst of that, you know what? God has still stepped into the midst of our poverty, the midst of tragedy. In January of this last year, Malawi suffered its worst flooding in 100-year history. And it's been amazing. The lower part of our country was literally under 6 to 9 feet of water for about 15 days. 200,000 people lost their homes. 5,400 of our church members lost their homes and every stitch of clothing they own except what was on their back. But you know what? In the midst of all that, God has still been faithful, and God has stepped in, and God has provided, and God has made a way, and the people of the church are still plowing forward. In June of this year, our ladies president called my wife very anxious and nervous, and many times they will call my wife Mommy. They said, Mommy, we are nervous. Everybody's lost everything. The ladies have been dispersed. There are people who are trying to rebuild homes. Crops have been washed away. Wells are contaminated. We are just trying to survive. And she said, I don't know how many ladies are going to come to the ladies' conference in Blantyre this year. I don't know if it's going to be a success or not. She said, we're just praying. But on Thursday night, our superintendent called me. He said, Brother Gibbs, I just want to let you know, in the midst of all of this tragedy, in the midst of all this sorrow, the ladies have responded. Over 1,100 ladies showed up the first night of ladies conference, and more came in over the next several days, and they had the largest crowd in the history of the church in the nation of Malawi in the midst of despair and heartache. You know why? Because they understand it's not about these things. It's all about him, what we sang today. And I give myself away, Lord. It's about you and your kingdom. And I thank God for people around the world that have that same heartbeat and same desire. Amen. Technology has been amazing this time. Traveling as we go around America, I'm able to text and email with our pastors every single day and keep in touch with what's happening. And while we travel, I also am watching the daily newspapers from Malawi. And that's amazing to me. You can sit in a parking lot anywhere, open your smartphone, and read all the current headlines from every major newspaper in Malawi. And as I normally do that every several days, I was reading articles earlier this year while we were in Austin, and actually Amarillo, rather. And I come across an article, and the title caught my attention. It said, the Pentecostals are taking over Malawi. And I said, all right, amen. We have heard we're the fastest growing church in the nation, but as I begin to read the article, it was amazing what I read in the first paragraph. And I begin to think, I don't remember being interviewed or any of our pastors or superintendents or leaders being interviewed. And as I begin to read that first paragraph, the newspaper gentleman did not interview any of us, but rather he interviewed the Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church in the city of Blantyre, where we live. The president of the nation and many of the cabinet attends the Roman Catholic Church, and the Archbishop is their leader. And I thought, well, the article's got very interesting now. And as I begin to read, I was astounded with what I read. The Archbishop was asked about the growth of the Pentecostals in Malawi. And he said, absolutely, without fail, no one is even close to them, not even close to second place. They are indeed the fastest growing church in the nation of Malawi. And I said, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our nation. But then the Archbishop said two things I won't forget. He said, there are two reasons why the Pentecostals are the fastest growing church in the nation of Malawi. Number one reason, he said, is they have a demonstrative worship. He said, when Pentecostals worship, there is clapping, there is shouting, there is dancing, there is jumping. He said, there is liberty. Then the Archbishop made this statement. He said, their churches are alive, but ours have become dead. And in my mind, I thought, preach on, Archbishop. Just preach on. You keep preaching that. Amen. What we did here today was not just songs and instruments and words. It was worship to the King of Glory, and there is power in apostolic worship. When the Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church can say in the newspaper, we are dead, but they are alive. They are recognizing the hand of God in our lives. Amen. He said, the second thing I've noticed is the Pentecostals have a demonstrative salvation. So great a salvation. Amen. He said, when salvation comes in a Pentecostal church, there is no guessing and there is no wondering by the parishioners if salvation has come. He said, but the Spirit of the Lord shows up in their services. Signs, wonders, and miracles are present. People begin to speak with other tongues as the Bible said they would. And while I'm reading this, I'm thinking of the words of Jesus, that we are that city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The Lord is elevating the church in this hour to places we have never seen, and I thank God for it. Amen. And the great news is, you get to be a part of it. I get to be a part of it. Our children are a part of this. Amen. People have said it would have been amazing to live during the time of Moses and watch a Red Sea part. I agree. Others would say to live during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ would have been wonderful. I also agree. But you know what? This is the generation to whom the ends of the world have come. And for whatever reason, you have been chosen. I have been chosen for such a time as this to be a part of the great end time revival that God is bringing to the world. When we look at the book of Acts, sometimes we get overwhelmed and we say, we don't see those things. But let me encourage you today. The church in Jerusalem grew to 25,000 members, but it took them 40 years. And in just 4 years in Malawi, 17,000 people have come into the church. Multiply that by the 170 some this church has brought into the kingdom. Multiply it by the missionaries and churches around the world. We are into the millions of souls that are coming into the kingdom. You and I are a part of the greatest hour of the church that the world has ever seen. And we should be more filled with joy and expectation than any other time in our history. Jesus said, I will have a glorious church. That's not weak, that's not anemic, that's not backed off in a corner somewhere, but a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Ladies, you get spots and wrinkles in your dresses when you sit down. This is not an hour for the bride to be sitting. This is an hour for the bride to be standing, ready and alert, watching for what God is wanting to do in this hour and around the world, and He is doing it, amen. Let's clap our hands and thank the Lord for what He is doing around the world. We were very blessed last year. We had visitors literally every month of the year in Malawi. And I love it when people and pastors and families come from America and youth groups. And they come into our nation. And sometimes we will travel to some of our remote village churches where they are 4 hours from the city. 3 hours of that trip. You wish you didn't have four-wheel drive, but rather a four-wheeler would make it easier. Pretty rough roads to get there. You go into a very small church that would fit probably two of them on this beautiful platform. 120 plus people will squeeze into that little building shoulder to shoulder, and the Spirit of the Lord will begin to move, and you begin to watch the face of the visitors from America. They begin to look at the guy playing some kind of animal skin, and they say, that's not the drum set at home. I don't know what he's playing, but that's not the pearl set at home. And they'll see somebody over there shaking something, and that look on their face is, I don't know what they're shaking, but we don't do that at home. And all of a sudden, they'll begin to sing in Chichewa in the language of our nation, and that look comes across their face again of, I have no clue what they're saying. And they just have that little lost moment for a second. But all of a sudden, when the Spirit of God begins moving, Then all of a sudden, the other look washes over their face. And all of a sudden, they look at us and say, Brother and Sister Gibbs, that's the same Jesus I feel at home. That's the same move of God. That's the same thing I feel when I'm in my car and I cry out, Jesus. And in that moment, they realize and we realize how massive the kingdom of God is around the world, that you can go into remote areas where you don't think anyone knows anything, and it's still Acts 2:38. It's still the gospel. It's still the kingdom of God. And we realize that God is bringing together a tribe, people out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. Revival is in our midst. Amen. What an hour to be a part of the kingdom of God. As my wife comes this morning, I want her to leave a word of testimony with you. I have been very, very blessed to have a wonderful helpmate that does a tremendous work in our nation. She works with our children's ministry, our ladies' ministry. When you put together our 420 churches in Malawi on Sunday morning, you have over 13,000 children ages 12 and under in Sunday school. And I thank God for her passion for our children, passion for our ladies. And I just want her to leave a word of testimony with you this morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we've come to worship God today. I think we all have breath within our vessel that we can say, hallelujah, I exalt you for another day to be in your presence. I don't want to take it lightly every time I come into the house of God that I can lift my voice and say, God, I love you. I exalt you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you today for Calvary Gospel Church for allowing us to be here, Bishop Grant and your wife, and Brother and Sister Brown for your awesome hospitality. Rachel, for entertaining us. It's been an incredible week, very relaxing week. Thank you. That's not too often on a journey of deputation. But glad to be here, glad to talk about Malawi. It is our heartbeat. It is the very air that we breathe. Just to be able to tell you just a little glimpse of what we have experienced in the last 4 years. We could write a book today to tell you all the incredible miracles and awesome things we have seen in God. It will change your life. And just even hearing about it, I hope it will change yours today. But in the first 4 years, as my husband said, we've saw so many incredible things, the 17,000. But I'll never forget, I think it was our third crusade being in the country. We saw 912 people get the Holy Ghost, 525 in less than an hour on Saturday night. As I stood there on the platform, it was so loud of a roar that we could not even speak to each other. We were screaming at each other and couldn't even hear each other because the roar of the praises and the speaking in tongues was so loud. I sat there and I wept as tears poured down my face and I said, God, this is so awesome. And as soon as that came out of my mouth, I started weeping even more because the responsibility of the 17 million fell on my shoulders. And I said, God, this is not even a glimpse of the responsibility that we have here. We have 17 million souls that we are reaching for. The age there is, if you live above 42 years of age, you're on borrowed time. But you know why? We have a young generation of young people that we are reaching for saying there is hope. There is hope that there is a higher power that you have never experienced before, that we're trying to share Jesus with them every step of the way, that they will know that there is something more in life than their traditions that they've grown up with. Our first year there, I was asked to speak at our ladies' conference. And arriving up on the country, where we went there a little ahead of our schedule before we got our full appointment. And so we went on an AIM budget. And upon arriving in the field, before we ever got to Malawi, our sub-regional director met us in Johannesburg and informed us that we were taking over the country. The responsibility was being put upon us as missionaries, and so to speak. And we looked at each other thinking, how is that going to happen on an AIM budget? There's no field accounts, there's no special project monies, there's no Bible school monies. But you know what? God stepped in those 4 years. And if I can tell you one word I've learned in those 4 years, it was trust. He taught me a level of trust that I've never experienced before, that he would step in and do supernatural miracles every step of the way. And that is exactly what he did. And so I was asked to speak at our ladies' conference, and for us to travel for that whole month of June was going to be gone 3 months. Our country is 700 miles long. As my husband stated, it's $10 a gallon for diesel. For us to even eat out, it's expensive because it's a landlocked country. To stay in a hotel is very expensive. So my husband sat down and he figured up our budget. And he said it's going to cost about $1,800 U.S. dollars for us to travel that whole time. And he said, I am sorry, that is not in our AIM budget. And I said, well, God is able to do a supernatural. I said, he didn't call us here to sit on the sidelines, but he called us here to do a work. He knew long before we arrived in Malawi that that country was going to be passed on to us. He wasn't caught off guard, but he wanted to show us another phase, another level of trust. And so as we sat there and we prayed, it was 3 months beforehand. The day before we were to leave, still no finances had come in. We looked at each other that morning and we think, okay, what do we do now? I said, I'm still believing. He said, I'm still believing too. We prayed some more. I said, you know what? I'm going to pack the suitcases. I am believing for God to show up today and show out. He said, I'm going to fill up the truck. You know, stepping out and $450 for diesel, that's a lot of money in one pocket. But you know what? He said, I'm trusting God to be our provider. And so you know what? We went and did our own thing, me packing, him filling up. And he got a phone call from two gentlemen from another organization that had just flown into Blantyre. I don't know how they got his number, but they said, we heard you're the new missionary in town. We have stayed at the Bible school before. Wanted to know, could they come stay in the Bible school apartment? They were going to be there a couple of nights. My husband said, sure, come ahead. We knew that was not going to be anything to help along the way for our trip because it wasn't very much money. But we said, okay, God, you know what you're doing. And so my husband goes over to let him in, and he stays gone for a while talking. I'm thinking it's guy talk, thinking it's about football or politics or something about America he's getting caught up on. But you know what? He came back, and he handed me a piece of paper. He said, won't you look at this? And when I looked down, it was a printed out piece of paper that they had wrote out what they thought it should cost for electric and water and all the different things they should be responsible for. They had 20-something guys coming in the following day to work on a building project on their site. Wanted to know, could they stay in the Bible school? And they said, this is what we feel like we should pay. Is it enough? They didn't ask my husband what he thought he should charge them. But he said, is this enough? And when my husband looked at the bottom dollar, it was exactly $1,800, what we needed for the following morning. It wasn't 19, it wasn't 17, exactly what we had asked God for, $1,800. Now that's been 4 years of those incredible stories I could tell you. But you know what? I'm not just believing for that in Malawi. I'm believing today for you to buy into the vision for Malawi. I'm believing for you to reach into your pockets. Say, God, I want to reach for the vision of the 17 million people because you today can make a difference in the heart of someone that has no hope, someone that has no future, someone that maybe not even have a meal because they don't know where they're going to turn to next. There's several of them now that don't even have homes. They're having to live in little tents that the British people have set up for them in camps because they've lost everything. But you can make a difference in the life of a Malawian today. Today, by reaching in your pocket and supporting the vision for Malawi. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As they prepare the multimedia this morning, it's about 5 minutes long. The first 50 seconds, there is no sound, just words that you can focus upon. And then once the music takes off, there will be sound all throughout. You will see some of the crusades, some of the general conferences, souls be in touch. God bless you as you watch this morning. Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. Now is the time to buy into the vision for the nation. When we came into Malawi 4 years ago,
My wife had made this statement in one of the meetings when she was asked if she had an opportunity to say anything. She said, there will come a day we will hold a crusade in that national soccer stadium. And the response from our leaders was laughter. They said, there's no way we could ever fill that stadium. But this year, past year, during our crusades, as over 900 people received the Holy Ghost, our superintendent looked at me with tears streaming down his face, and he said, Brother Gibbs, we will fill that stadium. They have caught the vision of what God is doing. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Amen. We are raising funds, of course, while we are home. We need partners in missions. If you are able to help on a monthly basis, whether it's $10 a month or $20 or $50 a month or whatever your capacity is, that partners in missions monthly giving is what allows us to go back to the field and to remain there for 4 years at a time, and that is greatly appreciated. We are down to 62 more people being able to partner with us monthly, and we will be able to be done, and we'll be able to head back to Malawi. But one of the focuses that I wanted to share with you before Bishop Grant comes to take up an offering is we are raising funds for tents. When you've seen $44,000 for tents, let me tell you, we are not going camping, trust me. We are raising funds not for a church, but for an entire nation of 17 million people. These 10 large tents are about $4,400 a piece. We have had about over half of them already purchased, so we're down to about five remaining. We've had several churches buy an entire tent, churches that buy an entire tent. We've had individuals buy an entire tent. Their name or the church name goes on that so we can track it, and the results can be sent back to that local assembly so they know what is happening with that tent. But these 10 large crusade tents, each of them will seat or hold about 2,000 people. These are going to be put up in 10 separate locations all year long in the nation of Malawi. And when you set up a tent somewhere like that and you've got an evangelist preaching or you've got a children's ministry or ladies' ministries or an all-night prayer meeting, those tents are going to yield thousands of souls every single year. And we are filled with expectation of what God is going to do. And they're going to rotate every 2 to 3 weeks to a different city as God sees fit. And it's going to be amazing of the harvest of souls. Amen. When you put up a tent like that somewhere in Malawi and sunset comes about 6:30, as it does all year long, and the rains come or the heat's there, people will gather to hear the gospel and their lives will be changed, and we are looking forward to that. During our crusades in Blantyre, let me share this quickly with you, we have been limited to bringing in about 2,200 people every year for crusade. That's the maximum sleeping space we have. When people are brought in for crusades in Malawi, they know there are no places for bedding. There is no tents that we would use for camping, or there's no cots or anything. They know they have to sleep on the floor anywhere they can find space. So by the time you use up all the floors of the church buildings, classrooms, libraries, hallways, that's the maximum we can accommodate, 2,200 people. I know if you're invited to a missions conference here for 3 days, and at the end of the service, Bishop Grant says, anywhere you can find a place, it's yours. It's not going to be a well-attended conference. In Malawi, they don't care. They just want to be in his presence. They'll gladly sleep on the floor anywhere, concrete, gladly, for 3 days to be in that crusade. But then what we are going to do is bring back these 10 tents together, five for the ladies and five for the men, and create sleeping spaces. And no longer will we be limited to 2,200 souls, but we can bring in over 20,000 people for crusade every year. And you know and I know, you get 20,000 hungry souls in front of the Lord, something is going to happen. Amen. I want Bishop Grant to come this morning, and if you can be a part of giving towards those tents or any way, shape, or form to the work in Malawi, it will be greatly, greatly appreciated. Let's give your bishop a hand as he comes this morning. Amen.
Praise God. I feel overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord. I think we've heard from two people today that realize what their mission in life is, and they're fulfilling it. And we want to help them. We do not sponsor them as partners in missions, and it would be good if we could. So if you could simply take a piece of paper or something and write on there if you would be willing to support them and how much you'd support them monthly with. And then they gave us their special needs, and Brother Gibbs talked about the tents. This is just, all of these things are so important to seeing souls saved. And if you can help with a special project, you need to denote it on your check. We'd like for the ushers to come at this time. And I want you to sacrificially give to our missionaries. God has blessed this church with some good, many good givers. Once again, we call upon you because we feel that God is calling upon you. And you know that we're just stewards, and God can pull rank on us anytime he wants to tell us what to do, because everything we have belongs to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Brother and Sister Gibbs and their family. Thank you, God, for sending them our way. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for us being able to share in their burden. I pray, God, that you would touch us, move upon us, speak to us, and that we would be able to sponsor them as a partner in missions. And also, Lord, the special projects and the special offering for the Gibbs. I pray, God, move upon all of us. Give us a directive. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Presence that's here today. We thank you, Lord, for your touch, your sweet, sweet spirit that's moving in our midst, Lord, today. Thank you for the kingdom of God. And thank you, Lord. As they put up on the multimedia the first picture, it's the same picture that you see on the canvas here. When you look at this, my wife took this picture when we were leaving a conference in our first year, a beautiful African sunset. And as we begin to look at that picture over the years, we always said that would be a neat picture to have, you know, made into a canvas or a picture and put on the wall. And I've got to be honest, we were caught up for 4 years looking at that picture off and on. As the sunset, you know, we get caught up in the scenery, we get caught up in life, we get caught up in the sunsets, if you will. And earlier this last year, I was going through some pictures and preparing them to put on canvas, and I was editing the pictures, highlighting them, and I took this picture, and I simply added about 10% light to the picture. I thought, let me lighten the picture a little bit, and when I lightened the picture, this is the next picture I seen. You really can't see it with the multimedia. I apologize for that. But when you have the opportunity today to possibly come by and look at this canvas, you can see this is the original picture. When I added 10% light to the picture, all of a sudden there were children standing there in the darkness. And I begin to be compelled by the Lord, thinking, you know, for 4 years we've talked about the sunset and how beautiful it was, and got caught up and looking at the sunset and the scenery around us, and all the while beautiful souls were standing there and no one seen them unless the light shine. When you put a little bit of light into the darkness, we are surrounded every single day by souls and by people that need what we have. And if you have a chance to walk by this today and look at that, we have these available for people to pick them up after service, and we can explain how it works, but it's amazing. Let's stand today in the house of the Lord. Everywhere we are, whether it's a job or university, in school, anywhere, there are souls surrounding us everywhere. And the danger is we can get caught up in looking at the sunsets and looking at things around us and get caught up in the moment and get caught up in life and all that life has to offer. We got so many different tangents pulling us every different direction, and it's so easy to overlook the souls that are right there within our reach. But today, I believe the shining light of the gospel, it is around us everywhere. It's illuminating our steps. And if we will let the light of the gospel shine, we will see the most important thing. It's not the scenery. It's not the sunset. It's the souls. The souls that are around us everywhere crying out for the gospel, and we can be used that way. I just want us in this altar time today, if you would. Let's close our eyes and lift our hands, and if you want to come to the altar, I know it is open today, but I want our prayer today to be, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear the cries of your people. Give me eyes to see those that are around me every day. I just feel compelled of the Holy Ghost to challenge someone today, those that we look at day in and day out, and we say, well, they're just just too affluent, or they're too educated, or they are too far gone, or maybe they have got into things too deep. We see people every day that we immediately just categorize and say they are untouchable. But I believe the Lord is here today challenging us, reminding us that all souls are mine, saith the Lord. And the Lord never fished with a rod and reel looking for a particular type of fish or soul, but he fished with a net always saying, give me all things, give me all of them. And I believe today that we are walking next to people day in and day out, and we just accidentally say, well, they're not reachable. But I'm telling you, the gospel can touch them. The gospel can get hold of them. What do I say, Brother Gibbs? I'm not a minister. I'll tell you what you say. The Lord said, in that hour, I'll give you the words to speak. I promise you, all it takes is an invitation. All it takes is a word of love. All it takes is a move of compassion, letting them know that I care. I pray today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the 100-some souls that were born into the kingdom this year in this church. But I am praying right now, Lord, as these altars are filled with souls that also recognize I am here because somebody lifted their voice. Somebody looked beyond the sunset. Somebody looked beyond the scenery and seen me as a soul. Today, Lord, give me a heart. Give me a voice to reach out to the north, the south, the east, and the west for souls everywhere. Baptize us, Lord, with a passion for souls. Baptize us with a compassion for souls. Use us in this hour to bring revival, Lord, an unprecedented revival into this city, into this church, into this nation. Let's talk to him. Let's cry out to him. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. No one like you.